to the House Geeks Real Estate Show, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate, Network Title, I Loan Home Mortgage, and James Dolsey, Country Financial. All right, today we are going to be talking about homebuyer questions, questions that we've compiled over the years that we think are ones that, a lot of homebuyers have. Dispel some myths. If you have any questions for us during the show, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Also, check us out online at housegeeks.com if you like the content that you're listening to. And follow us on our YouTube page. We have a lot of additional content that does not go out over the AM radio waves that's on YouTube. Very helpful home buyer tips. We're going to have one, what to do first when getting your home ready to sell. When is it time? When is it not a good time to list your home? Great tips there, and tons of home buyer tips as well. All right. If you're watching this on Facebook, when we're recording live, you can type in any questions that you might have as well. So let's jump into some of these questions. So, what is the importance of getting pre-approved before going on showings? Well, how do we answer that in the new book? We actually say not necessarily get pre-approved for going on showings. We've got to figure out what you need to get pre-approved for.
It's a great point. I've gotten a couple clients that have told me they've been pre-approved, and then they send me a list of homes and tell me that they want a fixer-upper in one of the cities, such as St. Paul or Minneapolis, and come to find out they're pre-approved for an FHA loan.
That's not going to work.
Why not,
most
Kirk?
Of the time. Well, there's a set of conditional guidelines that the Federal Housing Administration has that house has to meet. And a lot of fixer-upper properties are being sold, and we'll get into this in a little bit, as is, which the seller is thinking that they don't want to do anything to that home. So the seller is not going to bring it up to the conditional requirements that the Federal Housing Administration has to give this loan.
And one of the best ways to get equity in a home is to find one that needs painting. Most homes in the Twin City in St. Paul and Minneapolis are built before 1978, and any home built before 1978, if you're getting an FHA loan, cannot have any peeling paint on it. So if you're looking to gain equity, paint is the best way to gain equity because it has the most dramatic impact, and it's one of the cheapest updates you can do. Bang for the buck, it's one of the best. And if it has peeling paint, your loan will not go through in that home.
Right, right. It has to be corrected prior to, they come back and sign off on that inspection. But there's many other things. There's the roof. There's just general, window conditions or glass, if there's broken windows. Can't have any mold showing anywhere. Flooring condition matters.
GFI outlets,
GF
handrails need to be put up.
Yep. Can't have ungrounded outlets. There's all sorts of stuff that FHA has requirements. So, if you're looking for a fixer-upper, at least for a traditional FHA loan, now there is what's called FHA 203K. There's a lot of pitfalls with that that we've talked about in other shows before. But, with your traditional FHA loan, that's really not good to get approved for that. So, yeah, you want to go.
But loan officers like to push those at the first meeting because they tend to have a little lower interest rate, and they know the consumer basically shops primarily interest rate. So it's within the loan officer's best interest, if it's just a quick interaction, to present a loan with the lowest interest rate, and that would be the FHA loan. But what a lot of people don't know is the FHA loans also come with higher mortgage insurance. So even though the interest rate might be a hair lower, your monthly payment in a lot of circumstances will be higher because of the higher mortgage insurance.
Yep. Well, and this gets to our shopping apples to apples comparisons when we do our classes. Also, promoting our book again. It's in our book. By the way, if you're interested in receiving a free copy of our upcoming The Smart Home Buyer book, a guide through your biggest financial decision, please reach out to us through our website at housegeeks.com, or you can give us a call at 612-207-5388 with the information to send that to. We'd love to send you a copy. If you're a real estate agent, please don't call and ask for 100 copies to be sent to your house. all right. So, moving on. I think we answered that question pretty well. Go out, figure out what you want to purchase, then find the loan officer that's going to be honest up front with you. And
did you want to talk about condos and townhouses and the type of loan and how that affects your ability to purchase, in particular, a condo for the most part?
I think you just did. So it's important to know if you're not to just go get pre-qualified for something and not figure out, you know, letting the loan officer know what type of property you're looking at getting pre-approved for, just like with the fixer-upper, same thing can happen. You could go out and get approved for FHA, or maybe you're a veteran and you get VA approved, and you go out and you want to go buy a condo, and now that association isn't approved. But yet you want to buy a condo. You need to have the right type of financing set up for the type of property you're looking at.
It's safe to say that the majority of condos are not approved for FHA or VA financing, correct?
I would say it's pretty safe to say. Okay. What is earnest money, and what does escrow mean?
Well, earnest money is valuable consideration that is put down to when you write an offer. Basically, you're showing good faith by giving the seller's listing agent's brokerage, typically in the neighborhood of 1%, could be $1, could be the full amount of the property, but usual and customary practice is to put down 1% of the purchase price. So a $300,000 house, typical earnest money would be $3,000. If you make it through all the contingencies, the property gets to pending, and you find yourself at the closing table, the earnest money reduces the amount that you owe at the closing table by the amount that you gave the listing agent. If you back out during the contingencies and do it within the bounds of the contract, you would get your earnest money back.
Well, escrow. So escrow is really, I mean, depends on where, what state you're doing a transaction in as to what people, how people refer to this. So, you know, putting money into escrow, basically putting it into the title company's hands to hold this, or putting it in hold, to be paid out at a later date. So whether it's paid out for repairs or sometimes putting earnest money in escrow, whatever, you hear this term. And so that becomes, it's just funds that are being held, which get applied, like for earnest money, that gets applied towards your down payment.
So, another place you would see this is with most loans, especially if you're putting down less than 20%, a condition of the loan is that you would have a certain amount of the taxes paid up front and a certain amount of your insurance paid up front, and that is basically held in escrow.
All right. Let's, with a minute and 30 seconds before we need to take a commercial break, do I need to put 20% down to buy a house?
No, you don't.
Well, we can go a little more in-depth.
But if you
that.
Do, you're going to eliminate your mortgage insurance, which tends to be attractive to a lot of people. And it'll also decrease your interest,
you know,
marginally, but it will decrease the interest rate. Right now, you can do a rural development home for as little as 0% down. You can do a VA loan with 0% down. You can do a conventional loan. There's certain programs out there where you can put down as little as 3% if you fit within the guidelines of that type of loan. But typically, it's 3% to 20% down on a house.
And then you got your MHFA at $1,000 down.
And then you have a second mortgage for a little bit more.
So it's held. It has to get paid back upon sale, if I remember correctly. But so you don't actually make payments on it, I don't think. Maybe get Charles in to answer that question.
Yeah, really. That is a question. Real estate agents know just enough to be dangerous on the loan side.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. If you have any questions for us, give us a call, 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Check us out online at housegeeks.com. We'll be right back.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting homebuyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
The one constant in life is change. Throughout our lives, we will go down roads that we never imagined, and we need to be prepared for whatever comes our way. Want to own your future? Contact Country Financial Representative James Tovson. James can help put a solid plan in place with insurance solutions to help make sure you're protected for what lies ahead. Get started today. Contact James Tovson in Minneapolis at 651-365-3408 for Country Financial.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
My clothing is falling apart, my stuff's in a van, I have to rent storage space, and that will cost money I don't plan on spending, and the sellers are threatening to sue. My loan officer never called much, so I thought things were fine. Now I have to start over.
Avoid costly last-minute disasters by choosing an experienced local loan officer. Call iLoan at 877-373-4467 or visit iLoanHomeMortgage.com. iLoan Home Mortgage is an equal opportunity lender. NMLS number 4474.
Hi, I'm Kirk.
And I'm Chad.
With Bricks Real Estate and the House Geeks Real Estate Show, Sundays at noon here on AM 950. With your House Geeks Market Minute, 2.37 is the average number of showings per week per listing in the 200 to 400K price range. This is down year over year and is a main indicator of demand in the marketplace. Pending home sales are also down over the same time last year, 6.7%. The 30-year conventional interest rate is at around 4.55%. This is down over last week's 4.62%.
Conclusion for buyers. There are only a few weeks left of the best time of the year to negotiate. For sellers, the market will start picking up quickly now that we are into the new year. Remember, the spring market starts at the end of January. If you are thinking about selling, now is the time to be getting ready. Want to know the smarter way to buy and sell homes in the Twin Cities? Check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Listening to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950. Today we're talking about home buyer questions. By the way, we have a new book coming out, The Smart Home Buyer Guide Through the Biggest, Your Biggest Financial Decision. If you'd like a free copy of this book, feel free to reach out to us at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388 or through our House Geeks website. Today, as I mentioned, talking about home buyer questions, kind of left off with the do you need 20% down? That is a common one that we hear all the time. And then the answer is no. You can go anywhere from zero down up to as much as you want to put down. What do you look for when people are referring to good bones of a house?
I would consider that the foundation and the actual build materials that go into the floor joists and roof joists. And
yeah, I mean, when non-easily replaceable items is what we're going to talk about when we're talking about bones, right? So your foundation, you want a good solid foundation, you know, and by solid, I don't mean it hasn't had water in the basement before because, like, you know, 90% of homes at one point or another get water in their basement.
And 90% of those are usually corrected by gutters and grading.
Yep.
And then if it can't be corrected there, then you put in a drain tile system if it doesn't happen.
Or maybe it's just an overflow wash tub or washing machine or water heater or something like that. You know, it's not, you know, yeah.
Now, here's another part about the bones is the actual layout of the house. And the ability or lack thereof to change the layout.
Mm-hmm.
So I would consider that the bones as well.
So, yeah, foundation. Then, you know, what are the walls? You know, like, what are they using for the sheathing material? So this is what is in between your exterior siding and your studs, what the wall's made out of. So, you know, there's all those homes that were built in the 70s that were using that buffalo board, which just sucks up water. Mm-hmm. Are they using, is it solid pine, which you'll see in the 50s, which, you know, that's why we think those 50s homes are like tanks. You know, you have true dimensional lumber typically, and then you have the solid pine or, you know, 3/4 inch thick plywood that's on there.
Suppose you might want to mention the stucco homes that were built in the later 90s to early to mid 2000s.
Mid-90s to about 2000, yeah, somewhere. It's basically, yeah, the stucco homes where you were starting to introduce house wrapping but no air exchange systems. It's, you know, just looking for the fundamentals of the house that can't be changed and there isn't going to be a problem with it. You know, good reason to get a home inspection, get an inspector's opinion on that kind of stuff. Oh, what they have for the electrical system and plumbing system, those are not easily replaceable. Now, is a furnace bones of the property? No, it's not. A furnace can be replaced pretty easily. Same with water heater or appliances or that. That's not bones. Okay, it's the stuff that's in the walls. It's inside the siding. It's things that you can't easily change. This will be a fun one to go after. How common is it to ask a seller to pay for closing costs? Well, Chad, are you actually asking the seller to pay for closing costs?
I would argue that the buyer always pays for their closing costs. Either they pay for it out of pocket at the closing table or they essentially pay for it in the mortgage. The easiest way to think about this is if you got the seller to contribute $3,000 towards your closing costs, you could have even more easily got them to reduce the price by $3,000.
Right. So the seller isn't like coming to the closing table and writing a check, right?
No. But they are receiving $3,000 less, regardless if it's in closing costs or a reduction in price.
So they're basically not paying anything. They're agreeing to a reduction in their net price, which you could have just negotiated down.
Mm-hmm.
And that $3,000 is getting financed into their loan. Think of it like you go to a car dealership and they say tax, title, license. Would you like to pay for that and put that into the loan, or are you going to pay that cash out of pocket?
That's a good analogy.
That's not dealer paid licensing fees. No, you're just financing it into your loan is what's happening.
Another question right along those lines are, what are typical closing costs? And in a conventional loan, it's usually somewhere in the neighborhood of 3% of the total purchase price of the house. Until you get up to about $400,000, then that percentage tapers off a bit. And on an FHA loan, roughly 3.5% of the total purchase price of the house.
A lot of people don't realize that you get a lot of that back when you sell.
In the form of that escrow that you was set up at the closing table for the loan.
Yes, another term for escrow, escrowing your taxes and escrowing your insurance money built into the payment, not necessarily just foreclosing itself.
But that's a nice surprise for people. So
right. Well, and
maybe we shouldn't have brought that up now. It's always nice to get a chunk of money that you aren't expecting.
I like bringing it up because you get there, you get that seller paid contribution sheet that comes in, and so I don't want to pay any closing costs. It's like you realize when you sell, you're going to get a check back for these, right? Mm-hmm. And then you explain the whole thing about closing costs. So, you know, I do want to kind of answer that question, though. How often does a buyer finance their closing costs into their loan? Right now, maybe 60% of the time, would you say?
That's what I'm saying. But in the last spring market and previous spring markets, I would say it's much less than that. Because when you get the seller to pay for your closing costs, you're essentially inflating the price of the property. And in very competitive markets, it's a little harder to do that. And we have been experiencing very competitive markets in the last 3 years.
Should I avoid properties that don't have any photos or very few photos?
Absolutely not. Look at the specs. If it specs out,
check it out.
Check it out. Because that can be a deal. People shop based on photos. That's the first showing. So you might be finding yourself in an opportunity if you do go check it out.
Be a smart home buyer and look beyond the photos.
Absolutely.
We talk about that in our book a lot and how it can save you a lot of money. Homes that do not have many photos or, you know, one photo are typically going to sell for, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15% less than they could. So you want to save some money. Go look at those homes. It doesn't mean something's wrong. Maybe it's just rented. Maybe they're cleaning it. Maybe they're working on fixing the bathroom and it's dusty right now. There's all these reasons why there might not be photos.
And very importantly, don't pass by the properties that have poor quality photos.
Yes.
That can have a huge impact too. Look through the photos. Look through the quality of the photos.
Let's do the last couple minutes here. Does a house that have more days on market, does that mean that there's something wrong with it?
That's the general perception, but more often than not, they started at a price that was too high.
Right, so I'm going to answer this question. Does a house that have a lot of days on market have something wrong with it? Yes, it was probably priced too high.
Uh-huh.
Right, that's what was wrong with it. Now, I'm going to keep going with this. Okay, so what if that's not the problem? What if you go inside the house and, you know, there's mold in the basement or there's some other, you know, functional conditional issue? Guess what? It was still priced too high for whatever that conditional issue is. If, you know, you have a house that's $300,000, it's been on the market, you know, 50 days, it's not selling, it's got some hideous something on, you know, bad roof or whatever it might be, that if you drop it by $50,000, I bet you it'll sell. Right? So it's priced. It always comes down to price.
One of my best deals about a year and a half ago was on a $400,000 home in Eagan. It was overpriced to begin with. It stayed on the market too long. They did price reduction after price reduction after price reduction. When my buyers got an appraisal on it, they had $30,000 of instant equity because the general public decided that there must be something wrong with it when every other house was selling in a week and this one was on for 100 days.
Yep, exactly. You know, this is what we see. Go look at these homes that have the more days on market that don't have the photos. You'll be finding some great deals. Hopefully you found this show helpful. We'll be back next week.